Headlines this hour. 9 years into the war, US lawmakers say they're worried about failures in Afghanistan. 57 days into the US oil disaster and people are angry as the government keeps raising spill estimates. The United Nations renews its calls for an international probe into Israel's murder of Gaza aid activists. And in sports, Brazil narrowly defeats North Korea on day 5 of the World Cup in South Africa. Hello everyone and welcome to the news here on Press TV. I'm Hassan Tavakoli in Tehran. Thanks for joining us. US lawmakers are increasingly worried about the war in Afghanistan. Democratic House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer says there's significant concern about the situation there. This as coalition forces prepare for a major operation in southern Afghanistan. Hoyer says that the US-led war has not gone as smoothly as planned. He also doubted that NATO's upcoming Kandahar offensive will swiftly achieve what it's aimed at. Meanwhile, the US Congress is expected to take up an emergency war spending bill to cover operations in Afghanistan and Iraq. The bill is likely to face resistance ahead of the midterm congressional elections in the United States. To discuss this more, we're joined all the way from San Francisco by Richard Becker. He's with the ANSWER Coalition. Welcome to the program, sir. The Democratic House Majority Leader says there's significant concern among U.S. lawmakers about the situation in Afghanistan. What do you make of this?
Well, they have very solid grounds to have great concern about the situation. If we look at what's happened over the last several months, in each and every one of those months, the number of U.S. combat killed is double or triple what it was a year earlier. And the main combat season, what's generally been the main fighting season in Afghanistan, is just underway now. In addition, the cost of the war is very great. It just passed the $1 trillion mark for the Iraq and Afghanistan wars together. And, of course, there will probably be at least $2 trillion more if they stopped right now in terms of incurred costs that, from these two wars. But despite the fact of what the Majority Leader Hoyer says, I think we can be assured that the Democratic Party, again, will go along with the supplementary appropriation for the war, as they have for all of the supplementary appropriations for Iraq and Afghanistan.
Now, at this point in time, what solution, what is the best solution to end this conflict in Afghanistan?
Well, from the point of view of the ANSWER Coalition, and this has been our perspective since the beginning, back in 2001, we do not believe that the occupation, invasion, occupation, and war being waged by the United States and its NATO allies in either Afghanistan or Iraq or in Pakistan now, in the covert war there, none of these wars can achieve the objectives that those who are directing the wars are seeking, and that is to crush their enemies and to gain uncontested control of Afghanistan and the other countries. The real answer is for them to leave. The era of a colonialism, of neocolonialism, needs to come to an end. And as long as there is occupation, neither Afghanistan nor Iraq truly have sovereignty.
And of course, very briefly, if you can, there's unexploited minerals found in Afghanistan. How do you think that that issue will play out?
Well, if the occupiers have their way, then the companies, the giant corporations who they defend and represent, will gain access to those vast, rich mineral resources of Afghanistan. But, of course, the people of Afghanistan, who are desperately poor, need those resources to build a real future for themselves.
All right, we'll leave it there. Many thanks to Richard Becker with the ANSWER Coalition from San Francisco. Now, a new poll released in the U.S. points to problems for President Barack Obama's Democratic Party in the midterm congressional elections in November. Most Americans disapprove of how Obama has handled the devastating oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. This as crude continues to gush into the water for the 57th day. An Associated Press survey shows 4 out of 5 Americans are angry with BP's performance in the aftermath of the spill. 11 people were killed when the Deepwater Horizon rig blew up on April 20th. Rupturing an oil well. Millions of gallons of crude have leaked into the Gulf ever since. Americans blame BP for what they call the sluggish response to the disaster. The British energy giant has failed to stop the spill so far, and sometimes it has made things worse. Government estimates now say 60,000 barrels of crude is pouring into the water every day. That's 3 to 6 times as higher compared to earlier predictions. And Washington's under intense pressure over its failure to stop the worst environmental disaster in U.S. history. Meanwhile, Cuba is on high alert as the slick in the Gulf of Mexico continues to spread. Oil-stained waters have yet to make it to Cuba, but officials there say they are fully prepared to protect the Cuban coast. Venezuela has sent a team of spill-fighting experts to help the island nation. Patches of oil have reportedly been seen as close as 160 kilometers northwest of Cuba. Some forecasts say Gulf currents will inevitably carry the oil to the island's coast. Cuba's shores are a major breeding ground for marine species. The United Nations says its proposal for an international inquiry into the Israeli attack on a Gaza-bound aid flotilla is still on the table. A spokesperson for the UN chief says the world body remains hopeful that Israel will accept an international probe. Israel has so far dismissed the international community's demand for such a move. Instead, it says it will set up its own panel to look into the May 31st attack. Israel has handed over the bodies of 9 Turkish activists killed by Israeli commandos. Organizers say several people are still missing. Turkish and Palestinian leaders have already rejected the Israeli inquiry. They say Tel Aviv is not capable of launching a credible and impartial probe. Well, now in Northern Ireland, an inquiry into the killing of pro-independence protesters in 1972 has blamed the British troops for the deaths. British Prime Minister David Cameron has presented the results of the inquiry to the Parliament.
Despite the contrary evidence given by the soldiers, none of them fired in response to attacks.
What happened on Bloody Sunday was both unjustified and unjustifiable. It was wrong. Lord Savile concludes that the soldiers of the support company who went into the bogside did so as a result of an order which should not have been given by their commander. He finds that on balance the first shot in the vicinity of the march was fired by the British Army. He finds that none of the casualties shot by the soldiers of support company was armed with a firearm. He finds that there was some firing by Republican paramilitaries, but none of this firing provided any justification for the shooting of civilian casualties.
Well, on Bloody Sunday, a total of 14 people died when British troops opened fire on the protesters. This, while some people in Northern Ireland say the number of deaths are much higher. Irish prosecutors are seeking to indict the British soldiers involved in the killings. Well, now Russia's backing of fresh UN Security Council sanctions on Iran has cast doubt over the future of ties between Tehran and Moscow. As Press TV Salman Khujiri reports, analysts believe Russia's move against Iran won't damage bilateral ties in the long term.
Relations between Russia and Iran have gone through many ups and downs throughout history, but no point in time history has witnessed a total break in their bilateral ties. However, Russia's vote against Iran at the UN Security Council has cast doubts over the prospects of ties between the two sides, with many experts calling it a temporary storm in their bilateral relations.
What Iran-Russia relations is experiencing today will be very temporary, because the two countries have always had good relations with each other and their common interests will keep them together.
After the Iraq-Iran war, Tehran began putting much trust in its relations with Moscow. But analysts believe although Moscow was not worth being trusted, it is much more reliable than a number of other countries.
Moscow is worth being relied on because it has modified a number of resolutions against Iran.
Some analysts have gone even further, saying that Russia's vote against Iran was aimed at blocking harsher resolutions against Tehran, but the Iranian foreign ministry has a different view.
The Iranian foreign ministry condemns all those countries which voted against the Iranian nation because their move is against the national interest of the great Iranian nation.
Russia and Iran have shared an interest in limiting the political influence of the United States in the region for years. This is widely viewed as a long-term interest which cannot be ignored.
Analysts say although Russia voted against Iran at the UN Security Council, the long history of cooperation between the two sides will prevent both governments from falling into the trap of hostility. Salman Kujuri, Press TV, Tehran.
The U.S. says diplomacy is still an option to resolve the dispute over Iran's nuclear energy program. This comes a week after Washington and its Western allies pushed through a fourth round of UN Security Council sanctions on Tehran. A top aide to U.S. President Barack Obama says diplomacy will remain an option along with sanctions. The White House says Iran must take concrete steps to meet its international obligations or risk further isolation. This is while the nuclear fuel swap declaration between Iran, Brazil and Turkey is dismissed by the U.S. as not enough. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has said that despite the dismissal by, quote, arrogant powers, the declaration is still alive. It involves Iran shipping low-enriched uranium abroad in exchange for nuclear fuel rods to power a research reactor in Tehran. And you're watching the news here on Press TV. Quick check of the headlines this hour. 9 years into the war, U.S. lawmakers say they're worried about failures in Afghanistan. Meanwhile, 57 days into the U.S. war disaster, people are angry as the government keeps raising spill estimates. The UN renews its calls for an international probe into Israel's murder of Gaza aid activists. And in sports, Brazil narrowly defeats North Korea on day 5 of the World Cup in South Africa.